are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. So as was the case in last Sunday's readings, there's a certain tension at work between what we read in Paul's epistle to the Galatians and what we find in the gospel text. It comes down to the urgency of the moment in the gospel, in contrast with the rather more long-haul nature of Paul's counsel to the Christians in Galatia. In the gospel, Jesus has now turned his face toward Jerusalem, which means he's beginning to move toward the culmination of his ministry. This is not a time for anything but urgency, in other words. And so when he sends out the 70 others to go on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go, his counsel to them is fairly stern. Set your jaws. Be determined. Greet no one on the road, he even counsels them, which, as Janine Brown notes, quote, communicates a hurriedness to preparation and travel, especially when heard in light of an echo from 2 Kings, where the prophet Elisha gives somewhat similar instructions to his servant to make haste and go ahead of him on a mission. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. So it's urgent, focused, pointed time in Jesus' ministry. And what if these 70 message bearers are greeted with hostility or indifference? Again, from Janine Brown, quote, if rejected, they are parabolically to announce judgment by wiping the dust of the streets off their feet. A reference to the Jewish practice of removing the dust of foreign soil when returning home to Israel. There is a clear Jewishness to Jesus' mission, in other words, building on the stories and traditions that have been told and retold in Judaism. And yet, he's already beginning to expand the boundaries of that Judaism in a way that no one in Israel could have begun to imagine. Which brings us, rather fittingly, to what Paul is dealing with in his letter to the Galatians. Now, if you heard my sermon from last week, you'll recall that Paul is nurturing a community that includes both Jews and Gentiles there in Galatia. In the earlier section of the epistle, he's challenged the Jewish Christians who've been insisting that Gentiles must become observant Jews in order to be good Christians, something Paul does not see as being necessary at all. In the latter section, he's turned to the Gentile believers and told them that the habits and patterns and assumptions of their pagan past need to be set aside for something altogether more life-giving. So, a word to the Jewish Christians and to the Gentile Christians. Now, as he wraps up his letter, he begins by addressing something shared by both Jewish and Gentile Christians, namely the matter of what our translation tonight called transgressions. This is much more simply translated by Eugene Peterson as sin. Here is how Peterson renders the first verse. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. I think Peterson catches Paul's spirit quite brilliantly here, forgivingly restore him or her, saving the critical comments for yourself. And then his translation continues, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into it. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Now, that's Peterson's fairly free translation from The Message. But again, I think he catches the spirit of what Paul is trying to communicate to that community. Paul's actually asking a whole lot of the Galatians, in that living such a path is not easy. Share the burdens of those who are in trouble. Don't get all impressed with your own self. Don't even compare yourself with what others are doing. Take responsibility for doing the best you can, the creative best you can, with your own life. In a sense, all of these instructions are pressing them to simply live within the Spirit of God as it has been given to them, and to not worry about making comparisons as to who has the Spirit in a more fulsome way. We're all in this together. That's the heart of what Paul wants to say to that community. We are all in this together, Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free. And his famous teaching about that oneness is, in fact, in Galatians at an earlier point. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, no distinction. Bound together as one in Christ Jesus. So live into reconciliation and stop worrying that someone else is doing better. Or, more pointedly, someone else might not be doing as hot a job as you are at being a Christian, or so you think. And Paul's just going, just stop thinking in those terms. As Charles Cuzar puts it in his commentary, Paul's message here comes down to this, quote, look, take seriously your life in the Spirit. If you let the Spirit direct your behavior, you will be led to restore brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen away. Then, as you share their burdens, you really will be fulfilling the law. The law of Christ. The law of Christ, which for Paul means utter freedom, true freedom. Align your life with Christ's path and you will be truly free. Does that mean that you can do anything you feel like doing? That there are no limitations on our choices and our actions? That's, of course, one of the perennial matters Paul faces in these communities he's planted. So now we're free in Jesus. So let the bacchanalia begin. Unfettered parties. It's all good because we're just free in Jesus. Paul actually confronts that very problem in his first letter to the Corinthians. They're kind of, some of them anyways, are throwing a wild party because who cares? No, Paul would say, no, folks, please. Freedom in Jesus is not the same thing as license to do anything you damn well please. And frankly, he knows that doing anything you damn well please tends to be a path toward addiction, relational disaster, ultimately self-destruction, at least for a good many of us. And so as Paul winds toward the conclusion of this letter, he has both the matter of freedom in view, as well as the old conundrum of whether Gentile Christians needed first to convert to Judaism, with the men undergoing the ritual of circumcision. And so he writes, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. And so for those who follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Or, as Peterson translates these verses about new creation, "Can't you see the central issue in all this? It's not what you and I do, submit to circumcision, reject circumcision. It's what God is doing. And God is creating something totally new, a free life." Paul does not want people to get locked down by guilt or by shame, and he doesn't want a Gentile Christian to be thought of as second rate to a Jewish Christian, nor a woman to see herself as second class to a man, or a slave to see himself as somehow inferior to a free person. Paul is pointing that community and us with them toward a deeper Christian freedom which can be tasted right now and will be shared in its utter completeness in the fullness of time. It is a freedom that transcends old social and religious and ethnic and gendered divisions, and a freedom that has nothing at all to do with license. License to do whatever you darn well please, because it is a freedom that seeks always to see the other as my brother or my sister. It's a freedom that can bump up against the freedom of that brother or sister and lose nothing. We are no less free because we are in this together. Nothing is lost because my freedom and your freedom and Paul's freedom and the freedom of everyone who has ever tried to walk this Christian path are ultimately tastes of the promised freedom that God holds for us all. That's where Paul's going with this epistle. He wants people taste now the freedom. Set aside the old divisions. Leave the distinctions that divided behind. Neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Taste it now and know the promise forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.